Hello, everyone. Welcome to Living the Breakthrough, T1D Stories, where we have conversations with people who break through the challenges of living with T1D to achieve whatever they want in life, both big and small. My name is Adrian Gonzalez, and I'm a member of the Greater New England chapter of Breakthrough T1D. And my guest today is Monica Gonzalez, who is co-founder of A1 Real Estate Solutions, a Boston-based design and real estate development firm. She is also an instructor of architectural design at the Boston Architectural College. And I was introduced to Monica by a mutual friend, and she told me that Monica is always looking for opportunities to create awareness about type 1 diabetes, which is what we're all about here at Living the Breakthrough. So it was easy for me to bring her on board, and now here we are. So, Monica, welcome to the program.
Hi, thank you for having me. It is a pleasure for me to join you today for the program.
Well, Monica, I appreciate the time, and I know we had a nice chat when we first met. And certainly, we had a great conversation via Zoom the first time, and now that we're here in the program, really want to explore, some of the things that we talked about before. But let's get started with the way that we always start, these conversations on this program, and that is with the beginning of your T1D story. When did you get diagnosed with T1D? What were some of the symptoms that you were experiencing that kind of led you to the diagnosis? And what do you remember about that day?
Yes, actually, I was, diagnosed when I was 24 years old. I was kind of lucky not to have it as a kid. Anyway, so I was already out of college. I went to architectural school in Caracas, Venezuela. And after I finished, I found my first job. I was working in a construction design and build construction firm that we were building supermarkets and shopping malls. So I was about to turn 25 years old. So I was kind of having a different, routine because I would have to go to my new job and then working from the office and going to the construction site. So I was kind of a little bit tired and then I was losing some weight. But I thought this is my new life because I'm going back and forth between my new office and the construction site. And I thought this is normal. So I am doing things that I haven't done in my life. So I thought it was normal. But then I start, getting very thin and losing a lot of weight. And I do remember having a hard time going to the bathroom. And then because I had like a weird feeling and I was going to the bathroom, very often and drinking a lot of water. And then one day I remember I didn't have to go to my office early. So I was about, they told me you can come a little bit late. So that morning I had time to talk to my mom and I said, Mom, I'm not feeling well. I have this. And I happen to have a very close aunt and uncle that were doctors. So my mom called my aunt and my uncle and she talked about it. And they said, you may want to do her like a urine test. So we went for the test. And then when I was at work, she called me and said, we have to do, blood work ASAP because something is going on with you. So then she went to my office, picked me up because by the time we got the results, I was already in my office. So she called me and she said, I have to pick you up as soon as possible. And then we went to the hospital. And that's when they did the blood work and they discovered that I had type 1 diabetes. That's how everything started. I was working really happy. I had some, symptoms, but I wasn't like feeling really, really bad. I'm glad I was able to talk to my mom that morning because they said that if I would wait a little bit longer, that would be, very bad for me. But, that was the whole beginning of my type 1 diabetes journey.
Now, was this in Caracas, or was this here in the States, or?
No, that was in Caracas. I was working in a company in Caracas and we were building everything in Caracas. So I was traveling the whole city and I thought that was normal.
Well, a big thank you to your mom for encouraging you to go and get tested. And obviously, there seemed to be some familiarity, or at least in the back of the mind, because of your family that had some understanding of maybe this could be this could be that. But it sounded like you had some of the same, the classic symptoms of type 1 diabetes, right? Losing weight, unexplained loss of weight, very thirsty, going to the bathroom a lot. Certainly that was the symptoms that my daughter, was experiencing too. And did you remember what the blood sugar level was when you finally got tested?
I do remember that my numbers were at 12. I mean, my hemoglobina glicosilada, that's the name in Venezuela, it was at 12. And they were, I mean, the urine test had blood, infection, had it all. And that's, that was the first alarm. And then they did all the blood work and my levels. I remember, I think it was between 400 and 600, but the other ones was at 12, so very, very high. So that was the beginning of my journey. Yes.
So
And
did you?
I'm glad it was my aunt. When my mom called her, she said, okay, something is going on. And she had doesn't she's a doctor. And then she talked to her husband, and between the two of them advised my mom to bring me as soon as possible. So I think I was really, really lucky to have them, because there were close family members that were able to bring me inside the hospital really, really fast, as a very big emergency.
Right. No, I mean, I think at the end of the day, you were lucky because, like they said, if you probably would have waited much longer, or if you had ignored it and just said, oh, no, this is just my new normal, right? I'm working hard. I'm traveling back and forth. Maybe I'm a little stressed from work. It's all the excitement of, being out in the real world, and you would have discounted it. You probably would have been in a much more dangerous, situation if you had waited much longer. Now, was there any family history of type 1 diabetes in your family? Did you know anything about type 1 diabetes, or was this just like a complete shock to you?
It was a complete shock. No one in my family had it. Actually, I think I was the first person I met with type 1 diabetes. It was a completely, something that we didn't know about. We had to learn from scratch. And it was really, really hard for my mom to learn, because my father had died like 1 year and a half before from pancreatic cancer. So my mom was still in shock because of my father's passing. And then she had to kind of learn everything. I had already my boyfriend, who right now it's my husband. So he had to learn everything since the beginning, because my mom, relied on him to help her navigate this new world, because she was kind of like very, very shocked.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's, we often talk about how it is a shock to kids, little kids, right? Particularly if they're like teenagers, right? Because, no one likes to get diagnosed, right? And it's scary. I guess the point I'm trying to make is it's not only a scary and life-disrupting event for kids. It's also, it doesn't matter what age you get diagnosed. You could be 24, or you could be 54 or 84. People getting diagnosed at all ages, and it's really a shock to the system, to realize that you have this disease now, and just trying to learn as much about it as possible and know what to do, what to do next. So how did you end up managing ultimately? Did you start with shots, injections? Did you start using a pump? What are you using today?
At the beginning, I started using a very, very old type of insulin. I was using, I can't remember, it's like was like NPH, something like that. I can't remember. That was a very, very old type of insulin, and I had to do one shot in the morning and one shot in the afternoon. And then with those shots, I have to do another one. So it was kind of a combination between a slow, like a medium acting, and another medium active insulin. They were very, very old. I didn't have Humalog. I didn't have Lantus. So I used those insulins for 3 months. And then we came to Joslin Diabetes Center. That was my first time in Boston. So I learned about, Lantus and Humalog. And then I started using those two, which I use for 4 years until, you know, I got married. And then in 2006, I decided that we wanted to have a baby. And that's when I started using a pump. And since then, I haven't stopped using pumps. My son is already 18 years old. So I've been using pumps since 19 years ago. I have used, you know, many brands, many types, many systems. So, but I'm really, really happy. And, you know, I do know people that use insulin with shots and then go to pumps and then go back to shots. I gotta say, I haven't, you know, go back to the shots because I really, really like pumps. I think I was, you know, made for them. So I'm, you know, really, really happy. I've done, you know, with tubing, without tubing. So I'm really, really happy with the system that I have right now. And I don't think I'm going to go back to shots.
So what are you using right now? Do you use a continuous glucose monitor as well?
Yes. I started using a CGM when I had my second pregnancy. And I try different brands, but the one that I have right now, I really, really like. And I'm doing Loop. I'm doing do-it-yourself loop with my iPhone. My husband, you know, also learned how to do it. You know, he does it for me and he's pretty tech savvy. So it's kind of like an adventure for him. So we've been navigating this together since we were girlfriend and boyfriend. So it's kind of something that, you know, has been part of our life, our, you know, whole 20 something years.
Wow. Well, you know, I think it's great, you know, number one, that you had your mom and your family there at the very beginning to be a source of support. Then obviously your boyfriend, who later became your husband, has been a source of support all along this journey, you know, as well. And yeah, my daughter started out with pens for a few years, and now she's using the Omnipod and the Dexcom CGM. Mm-hmm. But like you, I mean, I meet a lot of people and some folks, you know, just still prefer the pens and the injections. And some people, you know, once they go to a pump, they never look back. And some people change back and forth, you know, based on where they are in life or what they're, you know, what they want to do and so forth. So, you know, there is no one size fits all solution is what I learned with, you know, the way to manage, you know, insulin levels and glucose levels throughout the day. So let's shift gears a little bit. I mean, obviously living with type 1 diabetes, you know, comes with many challenges. But when we first talked, you also mentioned that it has also provided you with, you know, some unexpected lessons, right? And then some positive things as well. So can you share what some of those lessons and positives are?
Yes, I think, you know, I have learned how to take care of myself. I have learned how to understand my body, you know, deeply, because you learn how everything works. And I think that's, you know, pretty awesome. I do like to do exercise before having diabetes. I do like to, you know, do exercise. So I have learned how that exercise can impact the way, you know, my body performs. So I think that's a pretty nice, you know, learning. And one of the things that I have learned is discipline. And because with type 1 diabetes, you got to be very organized. So I really, really like the structure. So I think this type 1 diabetes provide me the opportunity to be also resilient. So, you know, no matter what happened, you have another opportunity to keep trying. So at the end of the day, it's kind of understanding that life is an infinity game instead of like a finite game. So where there is an end with type 1 diabetes, you understand that this is something that it's going to go, keep going. And you forget about, you know, winning. It's just about how you can keep playing longer, which I think it's very, very useful in many other contexts, right? Sometimes we're very anxious about things. You want to, you know, get things done and complete and that's it. With type 1 diabetes, I have learned that there are things that you can keep doing and you get better and you improve as you go. It's not a matter of the final goal. It's, you know, how you enjoy the journey. So I think has been a great learning for me. And that brings a lot of resilience, discipline, and learning.
You know, I love that. I love the resilience piece because that's absolutely true. I mean, you have to learn to be resilient because, you know, it's hard enough living life with all the twists and turns and ups and downs without type 1 diabetes, right? Because not every day is going to be a good day. But when you're not having a good day and you've got type 1 diabetes on top of that, that may be making that bad day even worse. You've got to be able to navigate that, with a positive attitude and learn from it as well. So I love that, resilience piece. The discipline piece, absolutely. I think everyone has experienced, well, maybe I'm just speaking from my daughter's standpoint. If you're not disciplined enough, even just little things, which I think is part of the challenges, right? In terms of you going out on a trip, on a business trip or on vacation, and you forget to pack extra pumps or extra insulin or extra strips or, the supplies. So you really have to be on top of that, right? Because if your pump fails and you don't have syringes with you, then you don't have a way to give yourself insulin as an example. So these are things that you have to really, unfortunately, have to be mindful of and disciplined about, because you almost have to be in this kind of risk management mode all throughout. But I love that you've been able to kind of take a step back and reflect on, okay, well, yes, it's a crappy thing that this happened, but what are some of the positives that have come out of it? And I think it's a healthy perspective to take to see, how that has changed you in a positive way, nonetheless. So I want to talk now. I mean, you mentioned your oldest son is now 18. You have four kids, if I understand correctly. So obviously you've gone through pregnancy four times with type 1 diabetes. One of our previous guests had also been pregnant. Actually, she was pregnant with her second child when she was on the episode. So I think for many, women, particularly young women who have type 1 and they're thinking towards their future and getting pregnant in the future, they probably have a lot of questions and maybe some concerns or might be a little bit stressed out about it, how navigating pregnancy and motherhood with type 1 diabetes is. Can you share a little bit about how that experience was for you?
Yes, actually, I had only three pregnancies because my third pregnancy was twins. You
Oh.
know, that was kind of like a very big surprise for us,
So
especially, you
even
know.
more challenging, because having twins in
Yes.
itself is a
Yes.
challenge.
Yes, it's very challenging. You know, I would say that, you know, I really wanted to have kids, and that's the reason I went to the doctor to get a pump in order to be with an insulin that will allow me to have a more controlled pregnancy. And I think, you know, the motivation I had, you know, an extra motivation, like because I really wanted to have healthy kids. So I gotta say, at the end of the pregnancy, you're exhausted because I was like taking a very, very good care of everything. And it's a pretty long period, right? 9 months. So I would say, you know, I had that extra motivation. That doesn't mean that I wasn't tired at the end, but I think that was kind of, you know, the key thing that I had another reason to take even a better care of myself. That's, you know, during pregnancy, when I had the twins, it was even, you know, a little bit more challenging because there were two, you know, and I had some other, you know, health issues that I had to take care of during the pregnancy. They were preemies, but at the end of the day, they were really, really healthy. And, you know, it was worth it, the whole, you know, monitoring and everything. So I'm really, really happy that I was able to be a mom. And I think it's important to raise awareness that you can have babies with type 1 diabetes. You can have twins and they can be healthy. You know, there is a lot of misunderstanding and disinformation about, you know, how is a pregnancy with type 1 diabetes? You can have babies. That's completely normal. You will take care of yourself and everything is going to be okay. Because I think it's important for women to know that nothing is going to happen. You're going to be fine and you're going to take care of yourself. Maybe a little bit more than, you know, in without not without pregnancy, but, you know, at the end of the day, you're going to have a healthy baby and everything is going to be, you know, okay. So motherhood with type 1 diabetes, I think it's very, very interesting because I think my kids are part of, you know, my diabetes, they do help me. They already know when I'm not feeling okay. They are, all the time taking care of, where is your drink? Are you feeling okay? And I do like to run. And I am very, very lucky to have a very nice group of friends that I run with. And they know that I love running. And, they are also very, very happy when I go for a run, and they want to see me, doing the races that I do, and they do support me on all those adventures that I do with my running. So I think they're part of my life and with diabetes, because they know how difficult it is to run. They know how difficult it is to take care of myself, but they are part of all the things that I do, and they celebrate, all those things that I am able to accomplish as a person with type 1 diabetes. And I think that resilience is also something that they have learned. And the same thing, they have learned that, life sometimes is something that you have to keep going. It's not something that is, like a end game. So they have learned that they have to keep, working really hard. And I think it has been a great opportunity for them to learn a little bit more of resilience in there.
Yeah, no, that's great. I love that, in terms of the support from your running friends. And it's interesting with the kids as well, in terms of being aware of how is mom feeling, or maybe understanding that there might be things that you're experiencing because of the type 1 diabetes, and just kind of looking out for you as well. At our end, just because it's my oldest daughter that has type 1. And she was diagnosed at 11, but all her younger siblings, so similar type of things, all her younger siblings have always been very aware of her, situation, in terms of if she's going low, or finding her candy or sugar or ice, juice. Of course, also being typical brothers and sisters, if she's acting strange or funny or weird, they sometimes say, "Well, hon, are you high? Or hon, are you low? Is that why you're acting weird?" But I think, I think having the those that you love and that love you, aware of type 1 diabetes, and at least be on the lookout for potential dangerous situations, I think is important. But I think equally important is that, and I know this is something that a lot of kids in particular are concerned about, is you also don't want to be treated differently because you have type 1 diabetes. So I'm sure your kids still give you a hard time and are difficult at times, even though you have type 1 diabetes. And I'm sure your friends, again, treat you just like any other runner in the group, So it's
They do.
and I think that's important too, because you don't want to be, you don't want to feel different or stand out. I assume that's right. I don't want to speak for you.
No, that, I am completely, agree with you. I love that I am a normal person. I just need some help if I'm not feeling well. But beside that, I consider myself a normal person that can do everything I want to do. I just need to plan a little bit more in advance. And that's it. And I do love all the support that I have from my, family and friends, because they know that I am just another, another friend. I'm mom. I am another mom. So we are all the same. We just need once in a while a little bit more help. That's it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So now your oldest son is heading to college in the fall, which I'm sure is an exciting and also stressful time for both of you. And you shared with me before that you wanted him to get screened for type 1 diabetes before he, left for college. So for people who might not be familiar with, the screening process, I mean, how does it work, and why did you want him to get tested?
Actually, screening has been like a very, sensitive topic in our family, because at the beginning we were not sure if that makes sense for us to know if they're going to have diabetes or not, especially because we have four kids, and sometimes you don't want to know that one may be at risk and the other one won't, and then you are going to start, treating different one, than the other one. So we were not sure about doing this, but then, some treatment has become available, and we said we may want to test them. Again, I'm not, completely, prepared to scream all of them, but my son was about to enter a year ago. He was about to enter senior year, and I had a friend who didn't have diabetes, and when she went to college, she started getting sick, and she didn't know what's going on with her, and she got really, really sick because her parents were not around. So we thought, okay, we should screen our son Juan, which is the oldest, because senior year it's coming to an end. So we decided to screen him a year ago in preparation for this college journey. We may screen the other one sooner because now we do know that the treatment is working and still available. So we may screen the other ones in the near future. But when we screened our son, it was really, really easy. They gave us two options. One of the options was a special kit that they will send home, and you will do some testing for I think some of the antibodies that they will test, and if some of them will come positive, then you'll go to a blood for to a lab to do a blood work for more antibiotics. That was the first option. The other option was to go straight ahead to the lab to do blood work for all of them. And that's what we did. We took our son to a lab and they did the testing for all the five antibodies that they test. And it says that if at least two come positive, if two of them come positive, you may have diabetes in the near future. So we were really, really lucky. He was negative in the five of them. So, according to the test, it looks like he's not going to have diabetes in his life. They cannot guarantee this 100%, but from the antibody standpoint, he's free of those ones that may create type 1 diabetes in the future. So now we're ready to think about the other three kids, maybe before they go to college, because we know that the process is just really easy. I think we have to raise awareness of how important is testing, not only for prevention of complications, but also for learning and potential treatments to delay the final onset of the type 1 diabetes.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. Well, that's great news about your son. So very, very happy about that. We actually haven't screened our children. Of course, three of them now are adults, so we have no more control over that. If they wanted to get tested themselves, they could. And I think you're right. It is a difficult decision for many parents. That have multiple kids in particular, for the reasons you explained. And I think part of the challenge, I think this was true years ago, certainly many years ago, was that if you got tested and it indicated that you were at a higher risk for developing type 1 diabetes, there was really nothing that you can do. So then it was it just created this extra level of stress and anxiety. But as you mentioned, today there are approved FDA medications that you can take that can delay the onset of type 1 diabetes. So it doesn't cure it, but it can certainly delay it by, a year or two or even more, based on the particular patient. So I think at least now, there is something that you can do about it based on the results. And I think that's one of the areas that, to your point, I think the community is trying to raise awareness about, the value and importance of getting, getting screening done. As I mentioned in my opening comments, I mean, one of the reasons that you wanted to come on the program was because to raise awareness about, T1D. I mean, maybe as a way to summarize it a little bit. I mean, how has your experience living with T1D shaped your goals and actions towards raising awareness and I guess more broadly, creating a better world?
Yes, I think, if you are resilient, you are ready to create, to be part of a better world, because we have learned also teamwork. Again, a better world comes with people working together for a better world, within communities. So I have learned teamwork, friendship, I have learned how, when communities get together, we can work really, really hard for things that we believe are important, right? Finding the cure, raising awareness, doing fundraising, talking about the conditions so people, we destigmatize the having diabetes, So I think, that's kind of my experience. And at the end of the day, it's a style of life, and it's we live very healthy. If you take care of yourself, you live a very healthy ha life. So I think it has been, at the end of the day, kind of a blessing because I got to learn more my body. I learned to take care of myself. My kids are learning how to take care of themselves, and that's, my experience.
I love that. Again, you've become much more mindful of your body, much more mindful of taking care of yourself. And then in the process, all these things you talked about in terms of teamwork and resilience and the importance of family and friendships, in this journey through life that, we all need that. But certainly, in navigating the challenges of type 1 diabetes, you need it even more. So I think, kind of, again, I haven't talked to anyone that has really reflected on kind of the positives and how, you've been able to turn this challenge into something to, lead a better life and try to, create some positivity in the world. So I just love that.
I think it's an opportunity to be kind to yourself and then learn how to be kind to other people that may have other diseases. They're not feeling well because sometimes we don't feel well during the whole day. You can feel good, bad, and then you learn that, maybe someone that it's not feeling well, maybe is acting a little bit weird. So you start thinking, maybe he's not feeling well the same way I wasn't feeling well, a few hours ago, kind of like being more kind. That's one of the things that for sure type 1 diabetes has also teach me, right?
Yeah, well, that's beautiful. Because at the end of the day, we all have, we don't all have type 1 diabetes, but we all have something that we're dealing with every day, whether it's health issues or other types of issues that might make us sad or have an off day, if you will. And being empathetic to the fact that someone's not having a good day for whatever reason, I think is important to acknowledge. Monica, I mean, we could probably, continue talking for hours here, but let's wrap it up with the question that I always ask at the end, which is looking ahead to the future, right? To a future that we all can't wait for, that is a world without type 1 diabetes. So what would a world without T1D mean to you?
I think when the cure is found, I think it's going to be the result of a huge amount of teamwork and a lot of people involved different ways, from a podcast like this to scientists working together in a lab, people doing fundraising. It's going to be the product of a lot of people getting together, working. Through that will go. Nowadays, we're seeing a lot of divisions. So I think, a world without diabetes is going to be a demonstration that if we come all together to work towards a goal, we can achieve great things. And I think that's going to be, a very nice and a very impressive accomplishment for a lot of people from around the world getting together for that day. So I think it's going to be a big celebration. So a world without diabetes for me means the result of a lot of, teamwork, community, and resilience, instead of division and, conflict. So I think it's a great opportunity to learn, and we're going to all celebrate that day.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I think, number one, I think that's a great, great perspective of it, because you're right. It is, the old saying, it takes a village, right? And it does take a village, to reach this ultimate goal. Like you said, everything from, folks that are out there for, the scientists that are all researching this, people that are doing advocacy work, people that are doing fundraising work, or just everyday, learning and teaching about, life with type 1 diabetes. It is a collective effort, to get to that day, and it will be a day that we will, and many people will celebrate, for sure. Well, Monica, again, thank you for taking the time to be with us today and for sharing your story. I wish you much health and success, moving forward. And thank you for all you do to create awareness about T1D. And I also wish your son all the best as he begins his college experience.
Thank you very much for having me again, and thank you for doing all of this and be part of, the type 1 community that it's working towards, a better world without type 1 diabetes.
Well, it's my absolute pleasure. Thank you. And I want to thank those of you that are watching. If you enjoyed this episode, share it with your family and friends. And if you're living the breakthrough with T1D and want to share your story, feel free to contact me and maybe you can be the next guest on Living the Breakthrough. Again, thank you for watching and look forward to seeing you in a future episode. Have a great day.